Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon. Hallelujah. overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. Oh, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Come on, if you're thankful for Him this morning, just sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. Oh, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Would you just kind of make an altar there where you're at? If you want to kneel down, you can. If you want to stand, but just close yourself in right now with the Lord for a few moments, would you? Let's take just a little bit of time in His presence today. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lamb of God. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Master, what a grand privilege it is for us to find a place in your presence. To let your power, your love, your great grace surround us this morning. You are our hope. I thank you that whatever need that has come into this sanctuary, you are able to meet. As we lay the need at your feet and believe, all things are possible. You told us that all things are possible to him who believes. And we thank you for that this morning. Through the Lamb, we overcome. Glory. Praise your holy name. Master, as we open your word this morning, would you speak into our lives? Not just for us, but for those that we live with, those that we will touch out in the world. Put in us, equip us, both to live a life for you and also to do the work of the ministry that you have placed before us. Thank you. Thank you that you have chosen us to bring your word, your presence to this world. Help us now as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you glad this morning that the Lamb has overcome? You may be seated if you haven't already. Well, glory. I get up here, it changes a little bit from when I was up here the first time, so excuse me, I got to just kind of look around, see who's here. Morning. Howdy. Hey, you know what, folks? I know that we're in this big old gigantic sanctuary and everything, and you know, especially during COVID, we've been very thankful for the spaces to be able to put between us, and that's been to our benefit, okay? But can I invite you to not get used to it, to all the spaces? As things get safer, and I want you to be safe, and I want you to feel safe when you come into this house, but fellowship and unity are scriptural for the church. We talked a little bit about this last Wednesday night, about the function, what the church is all about. And if you read with me in the book of Acts particularly, you will see the fact that they were together in one accord brought power. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they didn't run away from being in one accord. Every time anything happened, they were together praying over it and seeking God together. And that's part of who we are. So I know some folks come to a church like this so that they can be invisible. You're not. We know you're here. The Lord knows you're here. Amen? Amen. Oh, and we're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Those of you that are watching online, bless you. I want to begin a series of messages this morning on salvation. And I am simply calling this a layman's guide to salvation. Okay? And at some point in my life, when God gives me the appropriate amount of time and courage, I hope to write a book under this title, The Layman's Guide to Salvation. It all begins at creation. Now, I will mention, some of you were in we called it Summa Thetis class. A few years back, we did that for those who wanted to go a little bit deeper in the Lord. And some of these things that I'm going to share with you, particularly this morning's message, are things that were shared somewhat during that period of time. But the Spirit of the Lord is accumulating in my heart and mind a greater understanding of what salvation is about. We want to, because the finished work of salvation was completed at the cross. Amen. And we're so thankful that the finished work of salvation was completed at the cross that often we start there as we begin to talk about the salvation experience. But if I could, and I believe the Holy Spirit will anoint this word to your heart, the things that we are going to talk about in the next few weeks leading up to that experience that Jesus had upon the cross are of great importance, particularly in witnessing and testifying to someone, pronouncing, if you will, your desire that they would come to know the Lord. Quite often, again, not taking anything away from the cross, but quite often, if you begin your testifying with them at the cross, you often lose them. Because, even as Hebrews 11:6 says, we must believe that God exists before we will believe that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We have to breach that chasm, if you will, between unbelief and belief with the truth of God's Word and the purpose of God's Word to lead them to salvation. That's one reason why we said, I led somebody to the Lord. What you and I have the opportunity to do is to expose them to truth, which prayerfully, with the power of the Holy Spirit working in their life, will bring them to a realization that they need the sacrifice of Jesus. How many have people in your life that you're wanting to see saved? Okay? My hope is that as we look at this guide to salvation, that you will gather some things along the way, even as a believer, that can help you in your testifying, in your ministry to the lost. Thomas Aquinas wrote, "If man born among infidels and barbarians does what lies in his power, God will reveal to him what is necessary for salvation, either by inward inspiration or by sending him a preacher of the faith." That is important to me because I realize and have come to this a long time ago that by the time the Holy Spirit illuminates a person in to me and their need to me, He has already been working in their life. How many understand that the Holy Spirit can do more in 5 seconds than you and I can do in a lifetime? To amazement at different times as I've had the opportunity to cold witness, if you will, and found individuals waiting to hear the word of the Lord. It's exciting. You may be the first person that tells them about the things of the Lord and about their need and the opportunity of salvation. And then you may be the last person, the one who actually gets to lead them to the Lord. All of those people along the way and all of those experiences along the way are important. Don't be afraid to be the first. You may think, well, you know, I told them about God. I told them about how He wants to save them. They had no interest. Hang on. Just do your part. Sow seed. let the Holy Spirit water that seed. And to the glory of the Lord, one day you may see that seed burst forth. I can't tell you the number of people that over the years have given their hearts to the Lord at the end of a message that I've preached and went to another church and dug in. I used to let that bother me. I thought, well, what? You know, I preached a message and they came forward and gave their heart to the Lord. Holy Spirit just gave me a real good swift kick. Not about me. It's not about us. It's about them, and it's about what they need and what they can relate to and how they can grow. So praise the Lord. Do I want this church to grow? You know I do. Amen? I'm praying that some people will get saved at another church come over here. No, we're not in church stealing in any way, shape, or form. Again, in this message, and I don't want to overdo this part, but I do want you to understand that in this series of messages, I want to increase an understanding in simplicity. So we're not going to try to be complex, but we want it in its simplest form. And see, that's the reason why the Holy Spirit keeps bringing me back to the message of salvation, because in its simplest form, it has its most power. The foundation, and here's where we begin. The foundation of all Christian life and principle is laid on the truth of creation. Any successful journey with God begins here. So I'd like for you to open your Bibles up to the very first page, not the foreword, but the first page of Scripture, Genesis chapter 1. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Pursuit of God, says it like this: salvation is bringing back to normal the creator-creature relationship. See, we need to get this fixed first in our minds to understand how this and what this salvation is all about. If you see that person, you think, oh, they're just so evil, they're just so full of sin and everything, they're just such an arch sinner, I need to get them saved. That's one vision. Another is, God loves them. Whatever their condition, God loves them. How do I know that? Because He made them. David recognized that. He said, you knit me, speaking to God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. We've all been around so many babies being born and things, we actually think that we do that ourselves, that we are the power of the creation and the creator. Eve thought that with her first two boys, didn't turn out so well. Look what we have done, we've made a man. Huh? Till she saw the fallacy of it all and how her one son jumped into sin and caused them, I'm sure, great grief because he killed the other son and then was a castaway far away from them, maybe to never see him ever again, that she realized, hold on a second, you know, the things that we make are not all that great. We need God. So the next one, when she had Seth, then she recognize that God had given her a child. And if you read that passage just after that, that's where it says, and men began to seek the Lord. So let's get it straight. Let's get it straight right in the beginning. We, even as believers, we need a healthy concept of creation. In the beginning, God. It all starts with creation's master. Feel free to say an amen if you have breath. It all begins with creation's master. You cannot get to the cross unless you come through that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's simple, and yet oh, so often forgotten. God is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, all-powerful, or all-present, omnipotent, all-powerful. But we also acknowledge and come to the understanding through his word that he is also holy, separate. He's not like men. He doesn't lie. He doesn't fail. He doesn't mess up. No, he's completely holy and pure. He is truth. He is goodness. He is peace. And his very nature is love. The existence of God in all of those things is not duplicated in any form in all of this world. He embodies all of that, all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful, holy, good, peaceful, and loving, and more. So you see, in our pursuit of God, we need to begin there because he is all of those things that really we are desiring in our lives. That's who he is. So you see, when you and I want to talk to someone about their condition in their life, we can begin with where they are to say, do you need love in your life? Most people are going to say, oh, yes. Then you need God because God is love. Do you have questions in your life? Are there things that you don't know and don't understand and you wish that somebody had the answers to them? Most everybody's going to go, oh, yeah. You say, oh, I know the one who knows all things. He is the giver of knowledge and the giver of truth. He is the God of creation. To know God, Paul says, is the beginning of wisdom. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depth and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Exclamation point. You see, to begin to understand that when you see a life that is empty, if it's your life, then it's really relevant. But even if you're seeing someone else and you think, oh my goodness, their life is so empty, so void of a passion, of love, of hope. They need to know God. Because he is all those things. Before we tell them that they are a sinner, let us tell them that God is the answer. Come on. We want to stand on street corners and pronounce the sins of this world. I'm not saying that that is not important. But what I am saying to you is it is overly important that we realize that our Creator God is the God of the answer. The fullness of those words, that name that he gave to Moses and carried on throughout Scripture. Moses said, who do I tell them has sent me? God says, I'll just tell them I am. Whoo! Hallelujah. Do you know the I am this morning? Then you're not without hope. You're not without answers. You're not without love if you know the great I am. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
To believe in God is the beginning of pleasing God. I quoted that for you a moment ago, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. To believe. Without faith, it is impossible to believe, because you must believe that He exists and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's the beginning. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. In other words, He didn't take stuff that already existed. He created from nothing. Why is that important to us this morning? To have an understanding of that ability and nature of God to make from nothing. Because if He can make from nothing, imagine what He can do with something. We're challenged sometimes. We think, oh my goodness, that one's so big. This need is so big. That circumstance is so big. This person is so evil. I don't think even God could do that. You're wrong. Because He can take from nothing and make something. And He takes something and makes something beautiful. Hallelujah. Creation, I believe, by definition, is designed origination. God had a plan. Before this world, this universe was ever formed, God had a plan. Augustus Strong, in his Systematic Theology, writes a definition of creation. Listen to this. By creation, we mean that free act of the triune God by which, in the beginning, for His glory, He made without the use of pre-existing materials the whole visible and invisible universe. Mankind strains to even catch a view of what God has spoken to existence. There is a monstrous telescope someplace out west that they have used for years to catch and examine small things, asteroids and different things out in the universe. And they are lauding today the fact that this grand telescope has reached its demise. So they can no longer see as far as they could see before. Our God knows it all. He has seen it all. Not just the side of the planet that may trace our movement around the sun that we may catch a glimpse of with a powerful telescope. He saw the backside. He saw the bottom and the top. It begins right there with creation's master. But then take a look at creation's intentions. Why? I've heard people preach this, and I cringe when they do. Just recently, I heard another preacher on, radio or whatever, bring this forth. God created man because He needed somebody to praise Him. Let me tell you something about this mighty God. He needs nothing. He is sufficient. All sufficient. There should be more amens. I can't move on unless you can park there with me to understand that our God is all sufficient. You say, well, then why praise Him? Because He's worthy to be praised. Not because He's sitting up there going, oh, I wish somebody would praise me. He has cherubim that are encompassing his throne 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for eternity, that are pronouncing his holiness and his worthiness. He has angels by the legions that are singing his praise continually. Don't think that he is setting up there desperate for your praise. You need it. I need it. We need to acknowledge his praise, his worthiness. That's why it's important. And by the way, once we shed this earthly skin that holds us back, and we are there in his presence, we will sing, we will shout, we will pronounce his glory with great pleasure all around his throne. I see it in the book of Revelation. Why did God create the world? Because creation, his creation, declares the glory of God. Okay? Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Creation reveals there is none greater than God. Psalm 95:3, the Lord is the great God, the King, the great King, above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Divine supremacy is established in creation. There is nothing in creation that can proclaim that it existed without God. Louis Pasteur, the great scientist, said, "Posterity will someday laugh at the foolishness of modern materialistic philosophy. The more I study nature, the more I'm amazed at the Creator." I think of the numbers of scientists, the numbers of very intelligent people who have shut off in their minds the very source of the knowledge that they want to absorb. So that means that they are playing around down here, when if they would acknowledge the Creator, they could begin to understand up here. Isn't that a shame? I pity them, because a simple man can know more in his acknowledging God than the greatest of scientists who denies God's existence. Boy. Creation intention was wrapped in the communion between God and his creation. When I say communion, I'm talking about the mutual participation that God desires to have with his creation, and the intimate fellowship. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. If you still have your Bible open. After he created mankind in his own image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. Look at chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. It says, "Then man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, 'Where are you?'" Think of that. God came down into the midst of his creation to fellowship, to have an intimate fellowship with man. Now hear me this morning, because this is incredibly important. God designed and desired from the very beginning to have an intimate relationship with his creation. The whole of his creation, including man. The salvation experience that we love and cherish is simply a return to what God desired in the very beginning. See? So when you're leading someone to the Lord, you're just trying to get them back to what God wanted them to be in the very beginning. The hope, if you will, that the Creator had over that child in the womb would be that that child would grow up and serve him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that what my Bible says? How about yours? So that means that every single soul, every single life, every single child in the womb, that God has hope for that child. Finally, we need to acknowledge and recognize creation's verdict. In Genesis 1, verse 31, God saw that all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. God saw that all he made, and it was very good. God did not make any cheap junk. Every person has value before God. It does not matter how other people have treated. It doesn't matter how other people perceive. Every portion of God's creation is valued by him. There is no one beyond his love. There's no one beyond his desire to redeem. Huh? For God so loved just a couple, just us here in this sanctuary, just a few very special people. No. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that portion of his person, so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would live with him in eternity. God's desire for communion relationship, for that intimacy of fellowship that he ordained in the very beginning. His reason. Creation's verdict. Very good. Very good. The God who makes things out of nothing looked upon what he had created. He goes, yeah, this will work. This is good. I'm proud to call. Can you imagine? Just imagine. Just even having a piece of God's ability to be able to actually create something. You know, anybody that is an inventor and they take from stuff that already exists and they invent some piece of something that people find use in, there's a lot of pride, you know, as they look on that object and they see it being used, and often they reap financial benefit from it, and you know, even accolation and praise and sometimes awards and all of this because of what they have done. And they come out and they take their bow and they're so proud. Yes. The scientists that come up with the vaccines and the people that come up with the machines and invent all kinds of things, you know, they're so proud. Look what we've done. It's not that far from God in the fact that there in verse 31, he looked over his creation, all that he had made from nothing, and he said, very good. It works. The Hebrew word tob that is used there means agreeable, pleasant, desirable, beautiful, fair, useful, fit, suitable, favorable, morally good, honest, virtuous, prosperous, abundant, valuable, and pleasurable. God's creation is all of those things. When he created man and woman, he said, I've made all of this. I want you to enjoy it. Live in it. Enjoy it. Subdue it. Prosper in it. See, folks, this is the God that you and I need to introduce them to before we call out his wrath over sin. Because he began this whole thing with a desire to have communion, to have intimate fellowship with all of his creation. Don't leave that part out in your witnessing, saints, as you're telling people about the Lord. Don't start with the fact that they're separated from this God. Start with what kind of God that you are introducing them to. If I'm gonna introduce you to Gene, I'm gonna start with his qualities. Could you help me with a few of them? No, we would. If we're gonna introduce somebody, hi, this is my friend, and we will, in our minds, we will think of some of their qualities and we will introduce them, not just by name, but we will tell, you know, he is a wonderful person. He is such a friendly person. He is such a blessing. Huh? Why not do that with our God? You are a sinner, Cindy. You need God's help because you're just a mess. Don't be surprised if that person puts up the wall. But if on the other hand you tell her, Cindy, you are God's, chosen by him, loved by him. He is love and peace and goodness. And he wants to have an intimate relationship with you. Trust me, that person that is lost, that person that is away from God, that person whose life is empty and searching, when they hear that there is somebody in this world who will take them right where they're at, just for what they are, and is ready to love them, I guarantee you, they'll keep listening. We have an open door. By just telling them that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and on the sixth day, he made man, and he said it's good. He loves, he desires, he cares, and all of the qualities of God are just what you need in your life. Now, come on, folks, here and watching online, why in the world would we not want that kind of God? You see, we've gotten taken up with the lists that men have made of what is right and what is wrong. And we think that if we receive God and if we walk with God in intimacy, that he is going to make our life miserable. And we couldn't be farther from the truth. The God who made us is the God who can give us the best life that we could possibly live. Excuse me. Let me end with this. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men. Listen. Who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that men everywhere are without excuse. Every single person will stand in the presence of the Lord one of these days and give an account for what they have done with the reality that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word. I pray right now as we gather around this table and we who are believers celebrate your death, your resurrection. May we not forget that when you made this universe and everything that exists, it was without sin, without sorrow, without pain. You made everything good. And you desire all men and women of every age, of every nationality, you desire to have intimate fellowship with them, even as you did your very first man and woman. Lord, we celebrate you as creator this morning. Praise your holy name. Church, would you take hold of the elements of communion as we conclude? By the direction of the Holy Spirit, and very early this morning when I woke up, this filled my heart. If you have a need and you would like to be prayed for, I would like to invite you to come down to the altar here. And after we take communion, I want the privilege of anointing with oil and believing that the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. I will tell you, I've had my shots. I'm good. But the Lord would have us do this morning. If you have a need in your bodies, everyone stand with us, please. A need in your life, I want to invite you to come. I believe the Lord wants to do something this morning. You know we don't do this every time. I'm just trying to be obedient. So he is wanting to do something in someone's life. And if you would like to be prayed for, we'll be obedient. On the night that the Lord was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body that is broken for you." Let's pray over the bread, could we? Father, thank you this morning for this knowledge that we have. The Apostle Paul recognized that not all men would understand or receive the truth. Not because they can't, but because they won't. Because the course of their life is set on selfishness and worldly pursuit. And they will miss the fact that your body was broken so that they could be whole. So this morning here in this sanctuary, we say thank you for bringing the truth to us that Jesus died for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for staying in place and taking those lashes upon your back. Thank you for allowing yourself to be beaten with the fist of the soldiers. Thank you for taking a crown of thorns on your head and nails in your hands and your feet. The breaking of your body that we celebrate today. What kind of love? What kind of love does it take to give your life for people who are full of sin and selfishness? Teach us, Master, that kind of love. Our only hope in this world is that you would teach us that kind of love, that kind of sacrifice, that kind of giving. It's the hope of mankind. And this morning we take this bread and celebrate the life, the death, the agony, the sorrow that you gave because you loved us. I pray right now for that person who feels unloved, not good enough. The enemy has sown lies into their mind. May they know that you, as they take this bread, may they know that you love them with an everlasting love and that their life is important to you. Bless us now as we take the bread in Jesus' name, church. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. After the meal, the Lord took the cup. He said, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. As often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you show my death until I come." This cup is a cup of remembrance. This cup is a cup that causes us to remember the shed blood of Jesus. He wasn't ashamed to stay on the cross until the work was finished. Lord, we thank you this morning that your blood is sufficient. Divine blood. God blood. Just what it took to save sinners like us. And you poured it out. So that we could know freedom, so that we could have the fellowship that it purchases in our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, Jesus. In my mind, O Lord, I celebrate that old song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. I can't speak for everybody in this room or those watching online, but Lord, I can say to you this morning, I'm so thankful for the blood that you shed for my life. That grants me the privilege of fellowshipping with you, talking with you, living with you, hearing your voice, guiding my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As we receive this cup, may we bring glory and honor and praise to your name. Church, let's drink the cup. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I am going to pray a prayer of dismissal. You can leave as you will. We want to pray for these who've come down to the altar. Father in heaven, minister this week. May it be a glorious week. May we take the truth of your creation into a hurting world. And may we offer them the best of the best. A God who is filled with love and care over his creation. Bless us this week. May it be a powerful week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go forth.